Hello, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial over at www.audibletrial.com/cinemarecall. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So sign up today and get your free audio download book. Again, that site is audibletrial.com/cinemarecall. Now, enjoy the show.
This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and on today's show, we will be discussing Irish actress Saoirse Ronan and scenes from her feature, Brooklyn. Today, I'm joined by Audrey Fox. She hosts a podcast, Rated M for McPhail, and she has a site called 1001 Movies and Beyond, which you can find at 1001moviesandbeyond.com. Hello, Audrey.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you very much for being on this show. Now, over on the site That Moment In, I posted a poll of movies of Saoirse Ronan to discuss about, and this was like on the tail end of the Academy Awards coming out, and she was nominated for Lady Bird, and so I wanted to discuss a favorite movie of hers that we could discuss on the show. Brooklyn won the poll right there. I wanted Hannah to win, but Brooklyn won, and which made sense because it is the role that she got a lot of Academy Award accolations for, not just Academy Awards, but basically every acting award was given it to her for this role. But before we get into that, can we tell your listeners just a little bit about your podcast, Rated M for McPhail? I know this is a podcast, and I think this is with your sister, Erin?
It's my cousin, yeah.
Cousin, okay. I knew it was a family member, but I forget which one.
Yeah, it's basically just me and my cousin talking about movies that are from our childhoods and just, you know, 80s, 90s movies that we watched a lot when we were younger, and then kind of going back and watching them now and seeing if they hold up, if there's any, like, crazy things that happen in them that we didn't even realize when we were kids but totally recognize now. So it's heavy on the nostalgia. But, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I know. The most recent episode you did was on The Legend of Billie Jean with Helen Slater, and I haven't seen that movie, like, in a really long time.
Yeah, I remember it from when I was a kid, and Erin had never seen or heard of it before, so we ended up going with that one, and it's a wild ride. It's a strange movie.
Did it still hold up?
To me, yeah. I thought it had a really, really interesting take on youth empowerment and women empowerment, and I mean, objectively, there are like a lot of flaws in it, but I still enjoyed it, and I remember why I liked it when I was a kid. So
very nice. And you also reviewed both versions of The Parent Trap, and honestly, I've only seen the Lindsay Lohan version of Parent Trap. I really should watch the Haley Mills one. Which one do you think was better?
I actually think that they're both really good. I think it's one of the rare, you know, original remakes where they're both, I would say, on equal footing. I think for me, I watched the Haley Mills movie a lot when I was a kid because Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan didn't come out until I was like 10 or 12. So I had, you know, prime viewing years before then where I was watching the original a lot.
Sure.
So, but they're both really good. So.
All right. Very cool. And I recommend our listeners to check out their Indiana Jones series, where they go through all of the movies, even the fourth one, which I gotta give a lot of praise and respect to that you went through that. All right. But, you know, tell our listeners, you know, exactly where they can find you. I mean, where can they find the show?
Yeah, I mean, the show is on iTunes and Pocket Casts and pretty much everywhere, Google Music, any place where you can find podcasts. I think we're pretty much on there. And find all of our episodes in the archive on 1001moviesandbeyond.com.
Very cool. And you can follow Audrey on Twitter at Adona Mission, at A-U-D-O-N-A Mission.
Odd on a Mission.
Odd on a Mission.
It's the first, Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, very cool. Thank you for joining the show. Let's do this right now. We're going to take a small break right now, play some ads from some other great podcasts, and then we'll be back to talk about Saoirse Ronan and our favorite scenes from the movie Brooklyn. Stay tuned.
We'll return after these messages.
Here's a few reasons why you should be listening to the Unwritable Rant podcast with host Juliet Miranda. She can tell a great story.
If you can't play dead, play drunk. And it works, I swear.
She interviews celebrities that have great stories.
If we have a cousin that's kind of strange, we don't put him away or tuck him away. We set him on an old dryer out in the front yard with alcohol and let him wave at people.
right. And then you tell your friends about it.
And she's tolerant and loves kids.
So these kids go running up after the ball, and I stand up and I yell, "Kids die in the street all the time!"
So head on over to theunwritablerant.com and listen to the show.
MovieMavericks.com, broadcasting current box office breakdowns, movie news, and reviews. Now for your hosts, Jason and Trevor.
Hey now, even though we're over 200 episodes deep into the Movie Mavericks podcast, it's still not too late to start listening.
Where every show we give you 10 truths, 20 lies, and a bunch of Hollywood secrets.
It's like existentialism slipping into nihilism.
MovieMavericks.com.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
I'm away to America.
Welcome to the United States, ma'am.
Brooklyn is a truly great American story.
So would you dance for me? Secret is to look as though you know what you're doing.
I wish someone had told me that years ago.
About who we are.
Tell me.
Where we've come from.
Ireland must seem very backward to you now.
And the places we call home.
I have a life halfway across the sea.
But your life here could be just as good, better, even.
Home is home.
Brooklyn, rated PG-13, select theaters November 4th.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cinema Recall Podcast. Thank you very much for checking out those shows. I highly urge you to listen to them. They're not paying me to say this. I think they're all really great shows, so definitely check them out. So our featured topic today is on Saoirse Ronan and the movie Brooklyn. Now, Saoirse Ronan was born April 12th, 1994, born in, like, New York City. She's an Irish-American actress. She's appeared in a few small roles, such as I Can Never Be Your Woman and The Clinic, but I think most of us saw her in the movie Atonement, where she was 11 years old, and I remember her being nominated. And when I watched that feature, I was like, whoa, all right, well, this girl could be really good if she plays it smart, because a lot of young actresses have the ability to screw things up. I don't know, what was your first take of Saoirse Ronan?
Yeah, same thing, Atonement. She was just a very, very solid young actress in a way that I think I think that there's an intelligence to her acting style, mm-hmm. and that I think really works, and it's kind of rare to see in kids that age. You know, a lot of times they're just sort of, they're playing roles that are kind of like very similar to themselves, or they're just sort of going through dialogue and not really connecting to it. And I feel like she's one of the examples of a child actor who was really able to like connect with material and understand it in an intelligent way and then translate that into a performance. So yeah, I think she has made like good choices throughout her career. There have been a few that are like, I just was looking through her filmography and I know that she did like The Host and stuff like that. So like there have been like a few, oh, maybe that wasn't the best choice, but I think on the whole, she's made smart choices, done good movies and picked good roles that she can, you know, sink her teeth into. So yeah.
Well, she had to do The Host because that was written by Stephanie Myers. Who I believe, didn't she do like the Twilight stuff?
Yeah, she did. So and The Host is sort of like in a similar vein.
Yeah, so she had to do like kind of a big blockbuster feature for her career because she wants to get more people to notice her. I love the fact too that she has taken on different roles. She was in an action movie with Hannah. She did comedy with the Grand Budapest Hotel. She did gothic horror with Byzantium. Yeah, and I think she's just a really well-rounded actress. Watching her in interviews, she doesn't seem to be full of herself. She just seems to be just a regular girl in her 20s. And yeah, I have like a lot of like profound respect for that. So I knew that Lady Bird may be her probably one of her most popular roles, but I wanted to get into the movie Brooklyn. And I think Brooklyn is, besides Atonement, Brooklyn was the first one where she got nominated for like Best Actress. So Brooklyn is a movie that is directed by John Crowley, and it's written by Nick Hornby, based on the book by Colm Tolbin, and I'm gonna mess up the pronunciation. I apologize about that. But Brooklyn stars Saoirse Ronan as Ellis, and she's a woman living in Ireland, and she feels like life is going nowhere there. Her sister Rose helps her out in getting a job in America. So she goes out to America, and she's feeling really homesick. But things start to pick up when she meets a new Italian man named Tony, played by Emery Cohen, and they start a relationship. They get married, and then she finds out that her sister, and this is not really a spoiler because I think they do announce this in the trailer as well, Rose passed away. Rose was played by Fiona Glasscoat. Again, my Irish pronunciations are going to be bad, and I apologize about that immensely, but Rose passes away, so she has to go back to Ireland to see her mom, and then while there, she meets another young man named Jim, played by Domhnall Gleeson, and they start to have relationships. So now she seems to be kind of stuck. She doesn't know exactly where she should stay. She should stay in Ireland, or she should go back to America. But not to annoy you, Audrey, give me your thoughts about Brooklyn.
Yeah, I think Brooklyn is a really, really solid period piece that has a romance element in it, but it feels like it deals with it in a way where it's not even so much about the men that she's choosing between, you know, Jim or Tony, America or Ireland. It's like her past versus her future, and it's, you know, the dichotomy between the two men plays out with her struggling with her past in Ireland and her future in America. And I think for this movie, Saoirse Ronan kind of shows for the first time that she can succeed in a compelling adult role, because up until this point, I think most of her performances were as either, you know, a child or in kind of the young adult genre. And that's a big challenge, I think, for a lot of actors who are trying to make that transition, whether they can be seen as compelling leads as adults. And I think this is her big chance to show that she can, and she obviously does. I mean, I think she was nominated for an Oscar for this movie.
Yes, she was,
Yeah, and so I think she does a really, really good job. I think it's a beautiful film. Like, the scenery is amazing. The costume design is incredible. So I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's a good thing we said there, too, about her taking on this role, because most child actors, when they do take on like a more mature role, they're usually playing, and I know this is going to sound bad, but they have to play like a prostitute or like a stripper, something like that that sexualizes them. And in this movie, that's not the case. She actually does play a very like mature role. Maybe I'm wrong in saying that, but it just kind of feels like when most child actors do take on a more mature role, they still have to sort of like show the world that, hey, look, I'm all grown up now. I'm a woman. Look, I've developed, that type of thing. And she didn't have to do it for this performance. And I agree with you. It's a very, very mature performance there. But let's get into like our favorite moments from this movie, Brooklyn. I'll start with you, Audrey. What is one of your favorite moments of the movie?
Well, I think one of the scenes that stood out to me the most was when they're on the beach in Ireland after she's returned, and she's with her friend Nancy and Nancy's boyfriend George, and then Jim, who is played by Donald Gleeson, who is the Irish love interest for her, basically.
I'd forgotten.
What?
This.
You have beaches in Brooklyn.
Yes, but they're just very crowded.
There'll probably be quite a few walkers along here later.
Yes. It's still not the same.
I'm sure it's not. We don't really know anything of the rest of the world. We must seem very backward to you now.
Of course not. You seem calm and civilized and charming.
It sort of really interestingly juxtaposes this scene in Ireland with the scene earlier when she's with Tony at Coney Island.
Costume on underneath my clothes.
I thought you'd know.
Right, I'm ready. Tony.
What?
Dear Rose, thank you for your letter. I was happy to hear about your golf tournament. You must have been really pleased. I still miss you and Mother and think about you every day. But I think I can say that for the first time since I've been in America, I'm really happy.
And it's like two completely different scenes where it's, you know, the frenetic, crazy Coney Island scene where you're tripping over people and it's exciting and everything. And then like the calm peace of the like untouched Irish coastline where there's no one else there. And so I think it's really cool in how it compares those two things. And it also shows how she's changed since she's gone to America, because there's the whole scene with the bathing suit where she's wearing it underneath her clothes because she learned to do that in America, and they're all like struggling to wrap towels around themselves and change once they're there. And so I think it's really cool in that element. And also in the scene before this, Eilish is in the car with Jim, and she comments on the fact that he's wearing like hair oil and a blazer and that he's part of the rugby club, and she kind of makes fun of him for that. And then the next time they see each other, I noticed this time when I was watching it that they're walking onto the beach and his hair doesn't have hair oil in it and he's wearing a sweater instead of a blazer. So I thought that was like just a cute little subtle way of showing like how interested he is in her, that he's like, you know, making these subtle changes and he's taking it to heart, like the kind of silly criticism that she gave him. So I thought that was a smart, you know, little costume decision that I just noticed. And
it was a great scene then too. And I think both the scenes in Ireland and Coney Island, they do very much mirror each other. I do think that Saoirse Ronan kind of still stands out in both scenes. But here's the thing, too. When you see her in the suit in Coney Island, she kind of stands out from everyone else. It's like both her and Tony are the only people in the world, and everyone else is just kind of like clutter. And she is there with Tony, and it's just like them kind of like against the world. But then when she goes back to Ireland, she kind of feels like she is in her home element there. And I guess one thing I want to ask you about is that when she does go back to Ireland, when she's there, she actually does get a good job, even better than the one she had back in America. I mean, she actually does get a job back in accounting there. She meets this nice guy. Do you think she made the right choice at the end?
I think that's the question you're definitely supposed to ask yourself when you watch this movie. And I think it explores it a little bit more in the book, too, because her relationship with Jim is more, it goes on further and it kind of goes to different levels than it does in the movie.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, because, I mean, her life in America. You know, she's got her husband, and they're going to be building a house on Long Island. And then in Ireland, you know, there's this new love interest. There's the job that basically falls into her lap. There's her family, her community. She feels at home. And I think there is a powerful pull to your home and your family and where you're from. And I know, especially with like her mother now being alone, it's a very like, it's a safe choice to like want to stay where you're from and where you're familiar and everything. But then I think also the scene with the woman who owns kind of like the general store kind of shows as well that there's a negative side to that, that she maybe forgot when she was romanticizing her vision of Ireland. She lives in a small town. There's a lot of busybodies. Everybody's in everybody else's business. And I think she kind of realizes then that she would rather be in New York, and that, you know, maybe everything isn't as great as in Ireland as she kind of thinks it is, and that her home essentially is in New York. And so she has to make a decision there. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think I understand where she's coming from in her final decision in the movie.
Yeah, well, here's the weird thing too, because, all right, now, I know that her and, like, Tony are married, and, you know, they made love before she left. And then when she meets this Jim character, at first she's, like, kind of, like, put off by the whole thing and doesn't want to be with anyone else. But then she gets to know him a little bit better and finds him to be a nice gentleman. Her mom likes him. Seems like everybody else likes him, too. But I never felt, like, a romantic chemistry with them. Like, I got the feeling that they liked each other, and she's having this, there's a scene where she's writing to Tony and she doesn't know exactly what to say to him. But I just, in my opinion, and I may be wrong about this, but I just never felt that romantic bond. Maybe because I never saw them kiss. They dance a couple times and he's very patient with her. He tells her that he doesn't want her to leave and everything. And I know she likes him, but just not in a romantic way. And that was kind of my issues with the movie. And I it's interesting that you mentioned about this in the book, that it goes into much further detail in the book. And I kind of wish now that they would have put that into the movie, because I wanted, just as a viewer, to feel that struggle that she felt. And I don't know if I really just kind of felt that struggle.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I can buy into their like romantic connection better, but I do agree with you that I think with Tony and Eilish, there's a much deeper, they click a lot. And like you can see how into each other they are physically and emotionally. And with Jim, it's more of a more peaceful love, where I could see them loving each other and having a very happy and fulfilling life together, but it's not that electricity that her Eilish and Tony have. So I can see that. And for me, the pull towards her staying in Ireland had less to do with Jim and more honestly to do with her mother, leaving her mother alone. And, you know, her mom was so excited about the idea of her maybe staying in Ireland. And so I think that's where I emotionally connected to that idea, more on like that element of it, like not wanting to abandon your family now that Rose has passed on.
Okay. No, that's a good point there too. The fact that she wants to just kind of be around her family, because she was nervous that this would be like kind of the last time to be with her family. And I know she felt kind of like a little bit guilty for leaving, the fact that her sister never told anyone about her illness at all. That's definitely an interesting point right there. I'm going to get into one of my favorite sequences, and it's a sequence that you alluded to earlier, and it's a scene when Saoirse's character, Elise, meets up with the cancer owner. Now, at the beginning of the movie, she was working for this cancer owner who was just this really shrewd woman, and she always gave like the rich customers head of the line above anyone else, and she seems to be more about gossip and everything. So she brings her in to her office and explains that she was talking to one of her relatives who was in America and met up with this Irish guy who was talking with this Italian guy about Irish wife that he has, and that he explained her, and so she knows before everyone else in town that she is actually married, because when Elise goes back to Ireland from America, she doesn't tell anyone that she's married. And I'll ask you about this too. I don't know, why do you think she never did that?
I think she maybe partially didn't feel like it was the right time. I think she was feeling guilty about not telling them before it happened. And I think also the implication is that maybe she wasn't fully committed to the marriage and, like, was still deciding whether or not she was going to stay in Ireland. Because, like, she could have stayed in Ireland and just pretended she wasn't married. I don't think anything would have happened. She could have kept that a secret forever. But I think maybe on a certain level she subconsciously or otherwise didn't know which way she was going to go on it. So
I think this scene is the turning point for her deciding in what to do with her future, because during the time when she's in Ireland, she's enjoying her time with Jim and her other friends, and she's got the great job and everything. So in her mind, she's thinking, you know what, I could possibly just stay here and everything will be just fine. But when she brings up her husband, and she has, like, this negative connotation towards Elise, Elise decides right then and there.
You remember Mrs. Brady? She usually comes into the shop on Sunday morning for her rashes. No. Well, you have a very busy life now. What with one thing and another. Anyway, Mrs. Brady has a niece living in Brooklyn. The world is a small place, isn't it? She had a letter from her a couple of weeks back. What did it say? Oh, only that she'd been to a wedding at the city hall, and her husband bumped into a girl from Enniscorthy who was getting married there.
Not sure what you're telling me, Miss Kelly. He didn't bump into me.
Oh, you can't fool me, Miss Lacey. Although I'm not sure that that's your name any longer, is it? He couldn't remember. Something Italian, he thought.
He'd forgotten.
You'd forgotten? What a thing!
I'd forgotten what this town is like. What were you planning to do, Miss Kelly? Keep me away from Jim? Stop me from going back to America? Perhaps you didn't even know. My name is Eilish Fiorello.
That's where you kind of know what she decides. It's not so much of, like, choosing between men. It's between choosing the type of life that she wants to live. And even though it's heartbreaking for her, even though she would love to stay in Ireland, she knows there's probably a better future for her in America with Tony there. And it's a whole notion, too, of, like, opposites attract. And he's Italian-American, loves the Dodgers. They did an argument with that with other kids. So I think that was an important scene, the fact that she has to choose. And based on that one sequence there, she makes her choice. Here's the thing, too. That's just one person having a negative feelings towards her. And I don't know why just that one person's negative feelings would be that much an effective of her choice. I mean, I get why she did it, though. I mean, it's an important part. But to me, you'd have to have, like, more than one person to have a negative impression that you were married before. So was it because of her, the canister owner, telling her about her husband? That's what made her want to tell her mother about it? And why just that one person?
Well, I think With the store owner, I think it is just a reminder of her how small this town is, how small-minded the people are, the fact that there's like this negative implication about her being married to an Italian, and just how gossipy everyone is, because it's not the first time we see people being gossipy in this town. Like, there's the old lady who comes up to her outside the church and is talking about, like, oh, well, Jim's going to be moving into his parents' house, so there, you're going to have that house all to you. Like, basically just being very familiar with her and talking about a relationship that doesn't really exist, and you know, it's all just this petty gossipy stuff. And I think the store owner is not she's the only one who is acting maliciously towards Eilish, but she's not the only one who's exhibiting like gossipy petty behavior that Eilish doesn't like. Mm-hmm. I love though when her response to it is like so calm, and she just kind of asks her like, I don't know what you thought this was going to be. Like, I don't know what you even thought you were going to use this information for. Just wanted to lord over someone that you had a secret that you could, like, did you think you were going to stop me from going back to America? Did you think you were going to make me break up with Jim? Like, what were you trying to do besides be petty?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No, that's true.
It's a really good, like, she puts her in her place, and it's done so within character. Like, it's so mature and just, but it's confident, and she just is like, yeah, you know, this is who I am.
Yep, and I like, because usually if you have, whenever in movies you have a big confrontation scene, there has to be one person giving like a big loud speech, and they gotta speak really boldly and strongly about their values and what they believe in. It's like this big monologue, and it's not that way at all. It's very kind of quiet, subdued, but just the words she brings out are very strong and confident.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that a lot about there too. Here's the thing too, what I appreciate about this movie, and it's usually a trope that in other movies is kind of bothersome to me, her relationship with Jim, the character Jim played by Domhnall Gleeson, I like the fact too that he could be a very good potential mate for her. And most other movies, when they bring in like a new character, the audience should have some sort of hatred towards that third party. Like, there's something wrong about him. Like, why would she be with the guy? She should really be back in America with Tony. And I think it's a brilliant decision on the part of the screenwriter and filmmakers to not make him seem like so pathetic, all right? Because Jim does have a good head on his shoulders. Yes, he lives with his folks, but that's probably the only bad thing about him. But he still has a strong head on his shoulders there, too, and he's able to do stuff with his life, and it's shown that he does care deeply for Elise. And I appreciate that very much in movies like this, where you don't have hatred for the guy, because I have a feeling that in most of the movies, you would have hatred for the guy so that she can go back with Tony. I don't know, do you feel the same way or different thoughts or...
Yeah, no, I think in a lot of movies, the screenwriters would have signposted the decision that she has to make a little bit more. They would have made the decision easier for the audience to make about who was the right person for Eilish.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like, one or both of the characters of Jim or Tony would have kind of exhibited some negative characteristic that would make it easier for the audience to say, like, okay, no, she needs to be with the other guy.
Yeah.
I bet it probably would have been something like controlling behavior or, like, something like that that makes you think, that makes you decide who is right for her. And they don't do that here. They both seem like good people who really like her. And I kind of like, too, that is... It's more character building, because there's a part where Eilish's mom says, like, well, he must be nice, like, if you married him. And it just sort of shows, like, the kind of people that Eilish surrounds herself with. And, like, that both of these people who are interested in her are, like, nice, genuinely good people that, you know, she could live a happy life with either of them. But it's, like you said before, it's more about, like, the life that she wants to be leading than it is about the specific man.
No, the only part I thought Tony was just slightly controlling on, just slightly, is before she goes away to Ireland he asked her, "You should just marry me now." And she says, "Well, don't you trust me? You know, can't we just promise?" And he kind of, I feel he kind of berates her into marrying him before she leaves. So I feel like that was a little bit of an ownership thing for that.
Yeah, you know, I think he's a very emotional character in a way that Eilish isn't. And I think the idea that he could lose her, that she could go back to Ireland and never come back, I think he's acting out of fear.
Okay.
And I think he's just one of those people who, you know, is emotional about stuff like that and needs to know that she's going to come back. So, I mean, like, I can see, and it is kind of annoying when she does say, well, like, can I just promise? And he's like, well, if you can promise, you can do this. And it's like, yeah. Well, that's not really the same thing. But, you know, I think, yeah, I think it, there's definitely that element that you could see to his character. I think he takes a lot of initiative on things that I think Eilish finds endearing and I think other people could find controlling. Like, he takes it upon himself to, like, show up outside of her school and just, like, kind of does stuff like that where I think she likes it, but I could see other people being like, okay, this is too much. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. And I guess another thing I want to mention is the... All right, so there's a moment in the movie when she's living in a boarding house, and I forget the character's name, but it's like a new girl that just joined the boarding house. She's got frizzy blonde hair, and she's been
Doris
asked,
or something.
And she's been asked by one of the headmistress of the boarding house, played by Julie Walters, to actually go to this Irish dance. And it's while there she meets Tony, and then she tells Tony while they're dancing that she's basically babysitting for this girl, and she says, "Well, if you get me out of here, you would be doing me a favor because this girl is dreadful." And I'm like, "Really? What about her is so dreadful? What did she do that was so dreadful to you, Elise, that you just want to diss her, go out with a new boyfriend while she's sitting there alone by herself? What was so bad about her?"
Yeah, I think she's, I think you're supposed to see Doris, if that's her name, as being sort of like catty, and some of her comments are catty, but I agree that on screen they don't show enough of like what's wrong with this girl. So I don't know. I'm almost questioning if there was like a cut scene or something that would have kind of showed more about why this character is so irritating, because like everybody treats her like she's a garbage person, and you don't really see it on screen. Like, you see her make like kind of like these glum little comments about things, so maybe she's a little bit of a Debbie Downer, but it doesn't seem like it's so bad that it warrants like all of this treatment, especially from a character that we've seen to be otherwise like a nice person. It is a little weird.
I expected it from the other girls at the boarding house, like the blonde hair and the brunette, and I'm totally blanking on their character's name because they probably said it just once and I can't really remember. I think Georgina and Nancy, the blonde and the brunette who are at the house, they're all dressed very fancy, and they said they're going to go out with their boyfriends, but they show up at the same Irish dance. I expect them to kind of pick on the frizzy-haired blonde, Dory, I think you said her name was.
Yeah, I can see that too. Like I said, I think there must just have been something more that they, I don't know. I don't think the character is necessarily like likable, but it doesn't seem like it warrants that kind of behavior. But also, maybe she's like, you know, playing Tony too and using that as an excuse to like, she really wants him to walk her home, but she can't just say that she wants him to walk her home. She has to come up with a reason. So maybe she's just like, that's the first thing that pops into her head because like everybody's been mean to this girl.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe too, maybe the fact this is the first time she wants just do something for herself, because most of the time when she does go out, she's doing things because other people want her to do stuff. I mean, yeah, she helps out at the soup kitchen, and that's a nice thing, and she likes helping out other people, but that's not what she really wants to do. You know, she'll help out the catty girl and take her out to dances, but that's not what she really wants to do. And I think when she does meet Tony and she asks him to walk her home, that's the start of her making her own choices, which leads to other decisions and then her having the ultimate choice near the end. And that's just, to me, that's kind of the first catalyst of her becoming her own person rather than what other people want her to be.
Yeah, and I think it's also, there's kind of an element of, like, her character being tied to the past, like, tied to the relics of her growing up in Ireland, and then all of the connections that she makes in Brooklyn, except for Tony, are, like, the Irish priest, like, all of his programs that he's doing, the Irish boarding house with all of the Irish people who live there, and it's, like, what she says at the end, too, when she's talking to that the girl on the boat, and she's just like, when you find something that's yours that doesn't have anything to do with where you came from, like, that's when you know that you're home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of it too. Like, yeah, being drawn to Tony and having him be something that's for her, that's hers, doesn't have anything to do with her, the old country or like her parents' friends or anything. It's just, this is hers. This is her relationship. And Doris is kind of part of the the past a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. No. That's so it's mostly like a story of a woman kind of be tied into her past, who learns through experiences to look forward more to her future, and she is still a proud Irish woman right there. But at the end, she's her own person, and she can have like new experiences to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yes. Well, very cool. If you had to give Brooklyn a score out of 5, what would you give it?
You know what? I think probably like 4.5. I really like this movie.
4.5 here. You know, I'd probably be the same way too. Four or so. 4.5. I do think there are a little bit too many moments where I think she just cries. I get the reasons why too, between like Rose dying, that's the important part, and the part where she's homesick, but when she was on her bed writing to Tony and doesn't know what to decide and then she starts crying, then I don't know, maybe that's my guy sentimentality, and I apologize mentally if I sound like a cold hearted bastard, but yeah, I thought she just a little bit too much in there. That's just my own personal take. Sorry.
Look, I'm a big crier, so I can relate.
Okay,
I felt like she's got tough decisions to make, and I think like her at the beginning of the film, like when she's first in America, I feel like she's very depressed, and I feel like it's like tearing her apart to be there until she kind of gets used to it. Like at the beginning, it's so tough for her.
I get that too, but she'd still write and, you know, I guess go back and visit. And here's a weird thing too, when she goes to America, that scene on the boat, it felt like that her journey to America would have taken forever. When she goes to America, her journey on the boat took like a long time, and she got sick on the boat. But then when she goes back to Ireland, she's just like, poof, back in Ireland. There's no scene on the boat.
I think they just didn't show it.
I had no idea that she was in Ireland until she mentioned something about it. So, I thought just the whole editing part of that was kind of weird. But yeah, I liked this movie a little bit more the second time I watched it. I do think all the performances in this are good. I think the directing is fine. And I had no idea that the guy who wrote the script for this, Nick Hornby, wrote the novels for High Fidelity and About a Boy.
Yeah.
I thought that was... I had no idea that he adapted other people's books and made them into scripts. I thought that was kind of cool. It makes me now want to go back and actually read High Fidelity, because that's one of my favorite movies. I think the movie's incredible, so it makes me want to go back now and check that out. But yeah, I think that's going to end up this episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast. We talked about our favorite moments from the movie Brooklyn. Can you tell us now, Audrey, anything going on new on Rated M for McPhail or on your site?
Yeah, actually. So with Rated M for McPhail, Aaron and I are recording an episode about Sky High, a classic 2005 movie about superhero kids. We're recording that like today, so that'll be out probably soon. And I'm also in the middle of writing a bunch of reviews for. I went to Tribeca in New York last weekend for the film festival, so I saw a bunch of movies there, and I'm writing. Reviews of the movies that I saw, so those will be on my site too. Those are a lot of movies that like maybe they haven't come to regular theaters yet, but some good, some less good, but all fun, so that'll be out soon.
Well, very cool. Okay, well, since Saoirse Ronan was the topic of our last poll, I think we're gonna do a poll on a director this time. And with Isle of Dogs being in theaters for a while now, why not? We're going to do the movies of Wes Anderson. So your choices for Wes Anderson features are going to be The Royal Tenenbaums, Fantastic Mr. Fox, Moonrise Kingdom, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Rushmore. So those are going to be your five choices there. So go onto the site. thatmomentin.com and vote for what you think will be your favorite Wes Anderson feature, and then me and a guest will discuss our favorite moments from that feature. But Audrey, big thank you for coming on the show and talking to us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was fun. I love Brooklyn.
Yes, indeed. I don't know what's next coming for Saoirse Ronan, but I'm hoping it'll be a good one. Yes,
she's doing Mary Queen of Scots, which is going to be out. Yeah, that's coming out, I think, later this year. It's like her and Margot Robbie. And Margot Robbie is Queen Elizabeth, and Saoirse Ronan is Mary Queen of Scots. So.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up our episode. Again, you can always listen to all of our episodes over on the site, thatmomentin.com. We are on iTunes, we are on Stitcher, Podomatic, Spotify, most places you can find podcasts. Just type in the name, That Moment In, and we're featured on the same network with a lot of great other podcasts, such as Game Warp, TV Good Sleep Bad, and Asian Cinema Film Club. We are on Twitter at @cinema_recall. Type in our name, Cinema Recall, on Facebook. I'm the Vern right now, telling you all to have a great night. Again, big thanks to our guest, Audrey Voss. Definitely check out their podcast, Rated M for McPhail, spelled MacPhail. Hope I said that right.
Yep.
All right. But thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a great night.